Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
My name is Angelo Carasone, better known as Stop Back on Twitter, and primarily I spend my time trying to debunk right-wing lies that permeate our media, and there's, you know, one of the places that we do it is on Bob Carson's show.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013, and you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour, and I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Greg Palast, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book Vultures Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores, and you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio, radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hi there, this is Justin Ray Harvey of J. Ray Radio and the co-host of Carson's Corner with Bob Carson. We have an announcement. We are no longer affiliated with Underground Progressive Radio 5:30 a.m. Even though we've had a critical change in the programming, our programming will remain the same. Times are subject to change, so just sit back and enjoy the program as you normally would. The only change is we've grown bigger and better, and like I said, we no longer support or advertise Underground Progressive Radio 5:30 a.m. in any way. Thank you, and show some respect.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
And welcome to another live edition of Carson's Corner here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bob Carson, 347-326-9749. If you want to be a part of this passionate discussion, we also have the chat room open for you. And let me tell you, you can hear the war drums beating. You could just feel it. This is deja vu. I'm so pissed off. I spent almost all day, well, about at least 3 hours, listening to the Senate hearing on Syria, and this is just exactly what we saw in 2003. We're going to talk about this, just how disgusting this is, and all the implications of the impending action in Syria, what that means for us in terms of our economy, in terms of everything. But let's bring on our co-host for the evening, and as usual, J. Ray, Justin Ray Harvey. Justin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob. Before we get to tonight's topic, I want to say rest in peace, Tommy the Duke Morrison, a great boxer, great champion, passed away on Sunday. I just want to say that Kevin has gained a great, great fighter.
Yeah, he passed away at 44 years of age, and Tommy Morrison was supposedly interviewed by Justin and I, but it turned out it was a fake Tommy Morrison, and I went back last night and I compared the interview that we did with the fake Tommy Morrison, or the supposed Tommy Morrison, to the real Tommy Morrison, and it's night and day. So, but in any event, Tommy Morrison was a great fighter. Ray Mercer said that, was it Ray Mercer or George Foreman said that Tommy Morrison was the hardest hitter that he's ever faced. And, we'll have to learn more about his passing. I'd like to find out, what happened. And, we'll just, give his family all the best.
Absolutely, Bob. I mean, that's why we are here. We care about the fighters. We care about the athletes. We care about politics. I mean, that's Carson's Corner all the way around.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, Justin, I don't know if you've been following what's been going on with the Sirius situation. And, we talked about this at length last week. And basically, I think the guy who put it best on this was Congressman Alan Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening
yeah.
to Alan Grayson. Mm-hmm. He was on Ed Schultz's show, okay? And he basically said this, that, this has the potential to cause a regional conflict if we attack Syria. It has the potential to cause a regional conflict. Beirut supposedly is a 15-minute flight away from Syria, I believe, and we have a U.S. embassy that can be attacked. Hezbollah is right down the road. You've got all these different external factors here, okay? And you had the Assad regime saying that it will retaliate and this will be a regional war. And so basically, the Obama administration is determined to attack. This is, again, as I said, this is a repeat of 2003, the trying to get congressional support for any type of action and leaving basically a blank check, which Secretary of State Kerry said that today that there wouldn't be boots on the ground. But we all know what's going to happen here. The writing is on the wall. History is repeating itself. We are going to strike Syria, okay? This is going to provoke a larger conflict, and suddenly we will, mark my words, we're going to see troops on the ground if this happens. How is this not going to happen? I mean, this is just unbelievable. And another thing that Congressman Grayson brought up that nobody else brought up, I haven't heard anybody else talk about this, how this is going to have a tremendous impact on our economy. They're saying it's going to cost $1 billion. That's absolutely ridiculous. They said the same thing about Iraq. Oh, the war would pay for itself. Oh, everything's going to pay for itself. No, you know what's going to happen? The Republicans are going to demand that we lift the sequester cuts off of the military. So the military, as usual, is going to have a blank check. They're going to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars dropping bombs on this country for what? We can argue about the motives behind this. But in any event, we're going to be dropping bombs on this country, okay, and we're going to worsen the situation. And you know who's going to pay for it, Justin? You know who's going to pay for it? It's going to be you and I, because the Republican Party, the fascist party that the Republican Party is, they're going to say, you know what, we look at President Obama. He took us to war. He spent billions of dollars. Right? We can't afford to fund food stamps. We can't afford to fund infrastructure projects. We can't afford to do anything for the people. But when it comes to the United States military, we can write them a blank check. This is absolutely disgusting. You have Democrats in the House now, Nancy Pelosi coming out in favor of this. What does this tell you? This is a repeat of history. We haven't learned our lesson because we haven't changed the system. I'm just outraged by this.
Me too, Bob. I mean, it's always something, but I guarantee you one thing. Somebody attacks us, we're going to kick their ass big time.
Well, nobody's attacked us. And this is the thing is that, you look what happened. Assad gassed his own people, supposedly. Okay, there was a report on truthout.org that said that some of the intelligence that Secretary Kerry has used has been falsified, been tampered with, much like we saw during the Iraq war, where you had numerous intelligence reports saying Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. You had a UN report saying Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. And yet the military-industrial complex combined with our politicians and whatnot were set on going to war, and that's what happened. Now, the whole chemical weapons thing, you know, we used in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was fighting the Iranians, he used chemical weapons that we sold them. The Reagan administration sold Saddam Hussein weapons. You had Donald Rumsfeld hugging Saddam Hussein. So how in the world can we claim that we have the moral authority on this issue when we helped to supply Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons that he used on his own people? In addition, you look at some of the military contractors out there that are manufacturing this garbage. It's U.S. companies. So, you know, this is just unbelievable. It is history repeating itself, and it's only going to worsen our economic situation here in America, not to mention possibly cause another war here. A World War III, this could be.
Absolutely, Bob. You know, I mean, I've got that feeling that if this ain't World War III, then we're going to eventually have a World War III.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, much of the world is in opposition to this. Okay, you have the Parliament in Britain that voted against any type of action against Syria. And again, what is going to happen here is once we attack this country, all right, and they respond, it inevitably is going to lead to soldiers on the ground. This is a much different situation than, you know, what we saw in Kosovo, in other countries, Grenada, because you have other interests. You have China. You have Russia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of these countries that have business interests in Syria, and still you have, you know, Hezbollah, you have Al-Qaeda. This is a much different situation. And here we are, and the corporate media, hook, line, and sinker, is going to convince the American people to support this. You watch. Another week or two, you'll see the American people support this effort. Because, you know, Noam Chomsky writes extensively about the propaganda model that is used,
mm-hmm.
and the different filtering systems that the media uses to manufacture consent. And everybody's gung-ho on this. You know, where are the progressives out there, people that were against the Iraq war? Now suddenly President Obama, who is the so-called liberal president, he's going to lead us into a war against a country that didn't attack us. It makes no sense, but it really shows you, Justin, that both political parties are essentially the same. Both political parties will take us to war without having been attacked. Both political parties are answering to the same interests. And at the end of the day, it's going to be you and me. They're going to have to pay for this. We've paid for the Iraq war. We're still paying for the Iraq war. That monstrosity cost us trillions of dollars, okay? If you recall, you know, the Bush administration said, oh, we're not going to be there for too long. Oh, the war is going to pay for itself. You know, none of that, of course, was true. We were in that country for 10 years. That country arguably is a lot worse off than it was in Afghanistan. We still have soldiers in Afghanistan. We've obliterated that country. And for what? They have a smaller GDP now than they did prior to the war. You've got a civil war there. And yet here we go again. Why is it that when it comes to military force in this country and around the globe, we always have a blank check? We always have a willingness to go around the world and attack other countries. There's another report. I forget. You can go to Kevin Alexander's Facebook page, where he chronicles the fact that the United States of America, for the past 50 or 60 years, has launched an attack every 3 months. You know, we're in a perpetual state of war. And still, you know, it continues. Nobody does anything about it. And it's just absolutely disgusting, you know, to watch the Democrats in the House fold and capitulate and give President Obama the same authority that George W. Bush sought in 2003 and ultimately use to justify an open-ended war. So, I mean, I'm telling you, we're going to see just a huge amount of spending. We're going to see chaos in the region. It is unbelievable to think that this type of action is not going to warrant a response from Syria and from, you know, I don't know, Russia or China. They have strategic interests in the country, but there may not be ideological interests, and they may not respond. Who knows? Russia has four aircraft carriers or four battleships in the area, but it's certainly conceivable that they can. And you know, what's going to happen when we launch strikes into this country? How can we guarantee that we're going to do any damage to the Assad regime? I mean, do you have faith that we could just, you know, bomb these countries from, you know, however miles wide, and we're somehow going to see some sort of result, a positive result? No, this is just almost a symbolic action that undoubtedly is going to lead to another conflict. And we have members of our own country, people in our own country that are homeless. You know, childhood poverty is higher than it's ever been. Most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. You've got 50 million Americans that don't have health insurance. You've got so many millions of Americans that are underemployed, out of work. And yet we're going to spend billions of dollars bombing a country for what? Because a dictator supposedly used chemical weapons. It doesn't make any sense, but this is what happens here, Justin. This is what this country is known for, and it's really unfortunate. And there needs to be people like us in the media talking about this, because I don't hear any dissent. You know, I listened to Al Sharpton's show today, and after the Senate hearing, Al Sharpton had two guests on that surprisingly supported action against Syria. You know, it's history repeating itself, and I got to tell you, when are we going to learn as a nation?
You know, we're never going to learn if we keep repeating the same mistakes, Bob.
Exactly, and we have not fundamentally changed anything. And part of the reason why we're in a position now that we're in is because people unyieldingly supported President Obama. I've been saying this for 4 years now, okay? President Obama is no progressive. President Obama is maybe a little bit more sympathetic to the plights of you and I, Justin, but by and large, he is no progressive. He is answering to the same forces, okay? He's expanded military efforts. He's expanded military budgets, and he's been more conservative than George W. Bush has been in terms of fighting terrorism. So we have a president who, you know, is not liberal on any issues, okay? He, you know, is going around expanding the war on terrorism, attacking countries that have not attacked us, and he's obviously willing to spend the money to do it, and this really bothers me. And Congress, you know, doesn't care about the sequester, doesn't care about putting people back to work. It makes me disgusted. I'm really disgusted of this country because you see it happening again. I remember during the Iraq War. I don't know if you remember this, but I wasn't on the radio. I didn't have a radio show or anything like that. And of course, there wasn't social media sites. But you know something? I was against the Iraq War, and I was telling friends and family members, this is a disaster. The administration is reaching. Okay, this is going to be a quagmire. And ultimately, I was proven right. And nobody was speaking out against the Iraq War. You had Phil Donahue. You had a few dissenting voices in the media. They were quickly, you know, muffled. They were quickly silenced. And what do you know? We started the invasion of Iraq. We were there for 10 years. It cost us trillions of dollars, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of casualties, refugees. The infrastructure in Iraq has been damaged. And here we are again, You know, this is just unbelievable, but it really shows you the power of the military-industrial complex.
Exactly, Bob. And like I said, you know, it's only going to get worse before it gets any better, Bob, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead.
Regardless, if they're with this war, lives are going to be lost. A lot
yes.
of American families are going to suffer because of this, and it just ain't right.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely right. Lives are going to be lost. We think that we're going to lob missiles and strike Syria because he killed his own people. Well, what do we think is going to happen when we send bombs into this country? What is that going to do? It's going to kill people. It's going to kill innocent people. Okay, it's just the bottom line. That's the way it is, you know.
Mhm. Exactly. And I just wish war would end, but unfortunately, it's never going to end, Bob. It's like I said, it's only going to get worse.
Well, you know, somebody said war is profitable, so you're going to see a lot more of it, and that's exactly why we've been in the perpetual state of war, you know, probably hundreds of years now. And you know, the thing that people have to realize, and you know, this is something I've been saying for a long time, is that both political parties are essentially the same. There are minor differences between the two, but they are essentially the same. They're essentially serving the same interests. They're essentially using the media to manufacture consent and do whatever the hell they want to do. And you look at the American people are against this, okay? I mean, I've seen polls that suggest that 80% of the American people are against any type of strike against Syria, and they want congressional approval. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It does not matter because the clock is ticking. The war drum beats are beating. We're going to war in Syria. And don't believe the administration when they say, oh, absolutely, we're not going to have any boots on the ground. That is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Secretary of State John Kerry knows full well that if Syria does respond and this thing does escalate, which it's likely to do, then we're going to send troops inside of a civil war, okay? That's
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen. And still, nobody wants to talk about this. I don't see any outrage on the part of certainly the progressives that you see on television and you hear on radio. I mean, Ed Schultz was maybe a little bit against it here, but you know, he says, oh, I could be sold. I could be sold. Of course he could be sold, because if he's not sold, then he loses his job at MSNBC. And that's the point here. That's exactly the point, is that as long as we keep on supporting both political parties in one shape or form, as long as we keep on, as Marky Smith says, consenting to tyranny, that we're going to experience the same thing over and over again. And that's insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The United States of America is an insane country.
Mm-hmm. And Bob, I guarantee, which I know you probably never heard anybody say this on your show, but I guarantee you people would change their minds if we actually made it mandatory for our own presidents to go to war.
Oh, that's
a
brilliant thing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can mandate, you know, like Israel, where everybody has to serve 2 years in the military, or mandate that those that have the power to send us to war, they have their children serve in the military, because that's what it takes. It takes people to experience war, to really not want to go through that and put people through that. But then again, you've got people like John Kerry and people like John McCain who are all too willing to go to war, even though they've served in combat. I would submit to you that these people are far removed from their military positions. They're far removed from combat and they're listening to the same forces that are writing campaign checks and that are, you know, writing checks to the media for advertising and so on and so forth. Around it goes. And it's just unbelievable. It really is that, yeah, people are going to die. Absolutely. People are going to die here because of the military spending. They're going to, the Republicans are not going to, they're going to, first of all, not only are they going to not agree to lifting the sequester cuts, which have been a disaster, the Republicans are probably going to demand offsets in the budget. So not only are we going to go to war, not only are we going to spend billions of dollars, okay, but we're going to have to cut social programs. We're going to have to, again, further stick it to the American people so that the military fat cats, which are drooling over this war, the more bombs we drop, the more war, the more profitable, you know, McDonnell Douglas or Boeing or Lockheed Martin, the more profitable their stock is, and around it goes. And so, you know, again, war is profitable, so we're going to see more and more of it. And, you know, why support any Democrat? I don't understand how people can still support President Obama and the Democratic Party after this. It's just another illustration that these two parties are essentially the same.
And here's another thing, Bob, too. Another angle, each time that the American people get it up to, why don't we take the president's private jet and take his vacations that he takes, you know, at different times during the year, you know, stick it to him as well.
Oh, you know what they should do is that they should have congressional salaries contingent upon the unemployment rate and contingent mm-hmm. upon money being reinvested into the economy. Because if you look at money being invested in America, okay, if you look at, you know, what's contributing to our federal budget deficit each year, it's money going to rich people. I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's whether it's, you know, tax write-offs, whether it's tax giveaways, you know, free land deals, you know, tax credits, whether it's subsidies. I mean, just, you know, fill in the blank. It's money spending to enrich the already wealthy. And, you know, if Republicans or if Democrats had their salary, I mean, not that they depend on the money they make as a public official, because it's nothing compared to what they get when they work in the private sector, like after they finish serving a House term or, you know, they finish serving in the Senate. Typically, many of these Senate and House members go work for the private sector, and they make millions and millions of dollars. And that's just outright corruption, if you ask me. But, yeah, if we start to do that, then maybe we could see more legislation that will benefit the American people. Yeah, exactly. That's a very good idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, will it ever happen? I don't think so, but, you know, you never know.
Well, you know, I want to talk about the thing that we're seeing right now with the corporate media. Again, the corporate media, which takes advertising dollars from the defense industry, okay, the ownership of the media, which has to certainly do with the defense industry. I mean, I can guarantee you that many executives in the defense industry are sitting on boards right now with the same people that are running our media. You have a filtering system that Noam Chomsky talks about, and this plays right into what we're seeing with Syria right now. He says sourcing. Where do we get our information from? Right? Where are we getting all of our information from? People, by and large, are not listening to people like you and me because we don't have capital behind us. We don't have advertisers and whatnot. We don't have advertisers because we're not, you know, upholding the system. We're not furthering their profits and whatnot. So we have sourcing from the very interests that have a vested interest in going to war. You know, they have a financial gain in going to war. And so we're only hearing stuff out of Washington, D.C. We're only hearing stuff at the you know, international news centers, and these centers are inundated with corporate cash and individuals that have a stake in going to war. Are we hearing from anybody in Syria? Are we hearing from, you know, the folks on the ground? Maybe some of the people in the neighborhood that were hit by chemical attacks? Are we getting a consensus from the Syrian people as to who they think attacked them? Of course not, because this is all part of the propaganda model that Noam Chomsky wrote about a long time, that this is how you manufacture consent now. So, you know, we have information being fed to us from a corporate media that has a vested interest in going to war for ratings purposes, for, you know, fill in the blank, and, you know, nothing changes. It just continues. It's just a perpetual cycle and whatnot. And I got to tell you, I mean, you said it before, Justin, things are going to get worse before it gets a lot better, because let's just assume, worst case scenario, that this starts a world war. This starts another war. Well, then you're going to have a massive amount of military spending. You're still going to have a very, very high unemployment rate. And, you know, as a result, the Republicans, I believe, would have financial, political capital to say, you know, we're going to offset some of the spending. We're going to cut and cut and cut. And who knows, they could even bring back the draft if they have difficulty getting people, depending upon how this conflict unfolds. Any number of different possibilities. But you know something? All of it sucks for the American people. All of it sucks for you and I, because I don't have faith in our military's ability to navigate in a civil war. We're getting involved in a civil war. And historically, that has been a disaster for this country.
Absolutely, Bob. And I'll tell you another thing that I don't agree with, too, is now they're wanting to take our guns away. And I don't agree with that at all.
Well, let me, with all due respect, that's more of a right-wing talking point. Obama has launched Obama actually received an F from the Brady campaign because he's done nothing to regulate. Well, he's done some executive orders, but he's passed no legislation that would restrict firearms. He doesn't have the ability to do that. If you recall, after the Sandy Hook massacre in Connecticut, the Democrats tried to pass a background check that was supported by 90% of the American public, and that failed because the NRA and the right-wing crazies really took control of the debate. Now, something that 90% of the American people support can't even get passed through Congress. So gun ownership has actually expanded under President Obama. You can now carry firearms on federal land, which wasn't the case. And state by state, you're seeing gun ownership expand. And there's a whole bunch of different reasons for that. But, you know, what you're gaining in terms of firearm access, you're losing in terms of economic sovereignty. And you know, this idea that, oh, it's about America's credibility, right? It's about preserving our credibility and making other regimes fearful. What credibility do we have in the region? What credibility do we have, you know, internationally? Since when do we care what people think of us internationally? And that's part of the problem. That really is, because an attack like this, which if Obama doesn't get congressional approval, could be a violation. Noam Chomsky talks about how we could be a violator of law. We could be charged with war crimes if we attack Syria. All of this diminishes our credibility. You know, I mean, the United States has no credibility in the world because we're seen as occupiers. We're seen as the aggressors. And there's a lot of evidence to substantiate that. So, you know, we're losing everything here. We're just, this country is going to hell in a handbasket.
Absolutely, Bob. And it makes me sad to be an American to see this happen. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it's because, you know, we have an American country that's more interested in Miley Cyrus and more interested in, you know, the Kardashians and this and that, and all things that don't matter, as opposed to, you know, why are we attacking Syria? What's behind it? What are the motives that are leading up to this? How is this going to, you know, impact the region? How is this going to impact us? That's what really matters, not this, you know, this spectacle that the media puts out there. And that's also something Noam Chomsky has written about, how, you know, the media uses sports and uses entertainment to manufacture consent. And that's exactly what it is. We're inundated with this crap. And you know, there's marketing techniques that are used to basically just render the American population into zombies. And because, you know, look, the less we know about Syria, the less questions we ask, the less outrage there is, the easier it is for the very forces behind this war to profit, to make money, and to further expand American business interests.
Absolutely, Bob. Absolutely.
So I got to tell you, this is really—it's really scary. It really is, because this is history repeating itself. You know, we were attacked in 2001. Okay, we were attacked by 19 alleged hijackers that received training from Al-Qaeda, received funds from Al-Qaeda. They were all over the world. I mean, some of them were actually here in the United States. And we were attacked, and we attacked the government that harbored the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, which was the Taliban. We went into Afghanistan in 2002, I believe. We stayed there. We're still there. Okay. Have we made any progress? Probably not. You know, still civil war. People are distrustful of the Karzai administration. You know, we don't know who's good, who's bad. It's a civil war. It's an uneducated population, the Afghani people that really are in the Stone Age, and we've made it worse for them. But okay, you know, I can understand that we were attacked on 9/11. We had international support. People supported our actions in Afghanistan. Then 2 years later in Iraq, you can see the Bush administration was eager to get into Iraq. You know, we knew as early as 1999 that George W. Bush wanted to go into Iraq. Mick Herskowitz, a Bush friend, reportedly wrote about in his book how George W. Bush, you know, said that during the first Gulf War, his father didn't use all of his political capital, and he should have remained in Iraq, and it would have won him subsequent elections, and he wanted to get rid of the wimp factor, and that was a motivation for George H. Bush's, you know, attacking of countries like Panama and so on and so forth. And they used the media to propagandize individuals. Both parties, by and large, supported the effort. There was very little dissent. And the same thing is happening now. Same thing 10 years later by Democratic president. It goes to show you that both political parties are – what they say means absolutely nothing. You can't trust anything they say. They will lie to you. They tell you what they want you to hear. And in the end, it's about advancing American business interests. And so why do we support this? Why do we have this system that is screwing everybody? Why don't we stand up and say, you know, enough is enough? And I got to tell you something. Once we do attack Syria, and if it does escalate, you're going to have people like Rand Paul and others that are probably going to win Republican primary election, because the American people are going to be tired of this. At some point, the American people are going to get tired of this, and they're going to say, enough is enough. You know, we want to nominate someone like Rand Paul. Why can't you see Rand Paul?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Hey, Bob, you're breaking up really bad.
Oh, no. I hope that, anyway, You know, I was just saying that this is going to lead to Rand Paul getting nominated. Suddenly, after the 2014 elections, the Democrats, the progressives, who probably support President Obama now, are suddenly going to come out and say, oh, you know, we want an anti-war candidate. It's the same thing. It's history repeating itself.
Absolutely, Bob.
All right, let's take a brief time out here on Carson's Corner. We're going to take a brief time out. We'll come back and we'll talk about this and other stuff here. My name is Bob Carson. Of course, as always, is Justin Ray Harvey, J. Ray. He is co-hosting. So keep it here on Carson's Corner on Blog Talk Radio. Get over here!
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
We're back here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. With me, as always, is J. Ray, Justin Ray Harvey. What's going on, Justin?
I just got me a fresh cup of coffee, Bob, so I suggest to your listeners for this next half hour, go ahead and get your warm coffee and sit down with us on Carson's Corner.
Absolutely, and I just want to apologize if I seem angry. I am angry about this. I really am. You know, I'm probably a little bit more angry than usual because you could see the writing on the wall, and I'm listening to the Senate hearing today, and it's the same thing. It really is. I mean, someone like Nancy Pelosi and John Kerry, and using international law as a basis to go to war. Well, look, I'm pretty sure that during the Bush administration, you know, when we were waterboarding individuals, that was a violation of international law. I'm pretty sure some of the things that we've done over the past, you know, God knows how many years, have been violations of international law. So why is it that, you know, we're allowed to violate law internationally, but yet when it comes to other countries, you know, we can't have it? We can't, you know, and it's the same argument over and over again where, oh, the the consequences of inaction far outweigh the consequences of what we do. It's just unbelievable. But people fall into this. It's just like propaganda 101. And you know, you see the wheels turning.
Absolutely.
And it's unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if somebody uses chemical weapons, okay, it's a horrible thing. It is. More than likely, the Assad regime did use these weapons, okay? More than we can't say for certain, but, you know, the U.S. intelligence reports, the U.S. intelligence community has lost credibility since Iraq, certainly, and everybody has a right to say, you know what, our intelligence industry is not necessarily credible at times. It serves the objectives of power players. There's no question about that. And so, you know, we're going to see intelligence reports, but would it surprise anybody if we learned 5-10 years down the line that these intelligence reports were false or the administration cherry-picked intelligence reports? I don't think so, you know. But the use of chemical weapons is bad. We all agree on that. Iran and Russia have come out and condemned the use of chemical weapons. But how do you deal with something like this? You deal with it by forming an international community. You know, if a threat is so bad, if an act is so bad, then the international community will come and respond to it. You know, this is – we haven't learned this lesson. You know, World War II – John Kerry brought up World War II today. Well, you know what was different between now and World War II? Is during World War II, we had countries that realized that their safety, their freedom was at risk, literally. And they banded together, we banded together, and we beat the fascist regimes because we had an international community. The international free market worked. But here we have no... you know, international consensus. The UN certainly is not going to sanction this, okay? And it doesn't matter. We're going to go it alone, basically. Same thing we did in Iraq, and it's going to further diminish our credibility, and it's going to intensify hostilities in this already volatile region.
Absolutely, Bob. And I wanted to let you know there, it's not as bad, but you're still breaking up a little bit.
Well, I hope it's not the computer because everything sounds clear. I had no problem calling in today, and I can't think for the life of me. You know, I have to go back, but the last show we did turned out fine, and even though we had some technical difficulties, this was the MMA show. But we'll have to see what happens. You know, I'd be willing to bet that it's okay, but we'll have to see. I don't know. You never know with Blog Talk.
Yeah, like I said, Bob, it could just be Blog Talk. It's not as bad, but it does it periodically, just a little bit. You can tell that it cuts in and out just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and see what the audio is like. Also, want to encourage everybody to go to thecommonsprojectnetwork.com and see some great independent, progressive material there. You know, there's a lot of radio shows out there. And I would be willing to bet that that's where you're going to find the true opposition to what's going on right now. See, to me, it doesn't matter who's in political power. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat. It is the same thing happening. We are not being listened to. And that is going to continue as long as we allow it to continue.
Exactly, Bob. It's like I've said week in, week out. Actions speak louder than words.
Yep. And President Obama, you know, when he ran in 2008, would say, oh, we'd never strike a country. He'd, of course, parse his words and try to have it 15 different ways. But if you would have told me in 2008 that President Obama was going to strike a country, expand the war on terrorism, expand military budgets, okay, you know, engage in intrusive intelligence gathering practices with the PRISM program, the NSA PRISM program, If you would have told me that, yeah, President Obama is going to strike Syria, I would say, wait a minute, judging by this guy's words, you would never think that would be the case. But here we are, 5 years later, actions speak louder than words. Words don't mean anything, especially when it comes to politics, and we're going to be finding ourselves in another conflict.
Absolutely, Bob. We're going to be up creek without a paddle.
Yeah, it's going to be even worse. But all right, I kind of want to move on. You posted something on your Facebook page, cerebral palsy awareness.
Yeah, I was helping out a friend advertise her page. So
that's awesome, and people can go to your Facebook page and see that, right?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm actually thinking about opening up a CP group myself. And also, I wanted to let your listeners know to clarify that I am helping Bob Carson run the Carson's Corner group on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. We got to sort of revive that. We got to send out the friend requests or requests for people to like the page. And whatnot. That'll be another great way you could keep track of the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, that's great. You can visit that page at facebook.com/Carson's Corner 13. facebook.com/Carson's Corner 13. I don't know what else is going on in the world. It's pretty hard to talk about anything other than Syria right now, because this is really the main topic in America. And again, I just can't reiterate this enough. This is history repeating itself. This is going to be a disaster for the American people. I mean, it's naive to think that even with all this talk of war and the Senate hearings and, you know, all this, what we're seeing right now, that the Assad regime is not moving weapons, is not, you know, how in the world do we think that we're going to have the intelligence capability, we're going to have the capability to eliminate his chemical weapons? It doesn't make any sense. It defies logic. But, you know, here we are, you know, poised to strike another country, poised to get involved in another civil war.
Oh, yeah. Another war. Lives will be lost and a lot of suffering families, and it's going to be hell.
Yeah, and how many lives have to be lost? How much suffering is enough? How much, you know, at what point do we learn? You know, I can't believe this. I really can't. That here we are again.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the war with Iraq, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it's like. I mean, you know, we've been drawing this comparison, you know, pretty much all day here, where President Bush, again, he got Congress to vote for the authorization of force, the authorized force. And what he did with that is he took that, he bypassed the UN and launched a preemptive war against a country that never had attacked us. And this garbage, Saddam Hussein fired on our planes, right? He fired on every conflict, Libya, they fired on our planes. Grenada, they fired on our planes. You know, this comes back to the corporate media and the propaganda model that they use, where you don't get any other sources. This is what's, you know, being put out there in Washington, D.C., or wherever the power players are. And this is somehow a justification for war. And you know, this is what happens. And, you know, the thing about it is that countries like Russia and countries like China, they have the ability to strike back. You know, we knew that Iraq did not have weapons. We knew that Iraq couldn't really do anything to us. Okay. We decimated his weapons of mass destruction that we gave him. The UN decimated them. They destroyed them. And so he didn't have the capacity to attack Kuwait the time that we invaded Iraq. Well, here it's different because Syria, you know, they could attack our embassies, but Russia can certainly attack us. China could certainly attack us. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. It may happen. It's just a slim possibility. But why take the risk? I just don't see how the United States winds up in a better position after this. I don't see this. I don't see how this benefits us.
And what's to stop these countries that you just mentioned from forming an alliance together and attacking us all at once?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, like World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's, I just can't even think of this, but this is what's going to happen now, okay? It's only a matter of time before we do something, and, it inevitably, I think, will lead to another conflict. And what we have to do is be as loud as possible. I commend those protesters who interrupted the Senate hearings today. I commend those that spoke about, American conflicts in the past and how the government and the corporate media are essentially lying to us. I really commend those people, because that's the only dissent that you're going to get, because in the corporate media, it's just not going to happen. It really isn't, for the reasons we discussed. But, we'll have to see. We'll just have to see how bad this turns out to be and how much it has an effect on you and I. And it is. It's going to affect you personally, Justin. You have Medicaid, right? You have medical expenses.
I have Medicaid and Medicare, so.
Yep. Yeah. And what's going to happen is that, once we go to war, once we start opening up the spigots and just pumping massive money, a massive amount of money in the defense industry, the federal budget deficit is going to get bigger. There's going to be more cuts, and your state is not going to have the money that it needs to fund programs to help people like you. It's going to affect you directly. It's going to affect me directly and whatnot. But, most of the American public is in the dark. They're asleep at the wheel here. They're inundated with the Kardashians and football and this and that. And it's just absolutely disgusting. It really is. And we're what was that?
And the next Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah, to keep the cycle continuing, to make us more, consumers. Everything is based on consumption. And this is something that Peter Joseph talks about in the Zeitgeist films, where, the way products are marketed to us, the tricks that corporations and PR firms use to get us to buy things that we want and we don't necessarily need, all continues cyclical consumption, which drives the economy. And, unfortunately, people are brainwashed by this. We don't need another war. The last thing we need is another war. But, the same PR firms that are responsible for making us believe that we need this latest gadget or that latest gadget are the ones that are going to be selling us the war. And, convincing the American people this is what we need to do. All right, we've got 90 seconds. Give people your Facebook page, Justin, and tell people how they can keep in contact with you.
Okay, Facebook and Twitter, at Justin Ray Harvey. And, Bob, I got to say, with these last few seconds, this show is a done deal, my friend.
Yes, absolutely. You can keep track with me, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA, and don't forget to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. It's a done deal. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Show some respect.
Show some respect, people.
Thank you, Justin. See you next week.
See you next week, Bob.